Euclid of Alexandria, born about 325 BC. Died about 265 BC in Alexandria, Egypt. Euclid of Alexandria is the most prominent mathematician of antiquity, best known for his treatise on mathematics, The Elements. The long-lasting nature of the elements must make Euclid the leading mathematics teacher of all time. However, little is known of Euclid's life except that he taught at Alexandria in Egypt. Proclus, the last major Greek philosopher, who lived around 450 AD, wrote, "Not much younger than these pupils of Plato is Euclid, who put together the elements, arranging in order many of Eudoxus's theorems, perfecting many of Theaetetus's, and also bringing to irrefutable demonstration the things which had been only loosely proved by his predecessors. This man lived in the time of the first Ptolemy, for Archimedes, who followed closely upon the first Ptolemy, makes mention of Euclid, and further they say that Ptolemy once asked him if there were a shorter way to study geometry than the elements, to which he replied that there was no royal road to geometry. He is therefore younger than Plato's circle, but older than Eratosthenes and Archimedes, for these were contemporaries, as Eratosthenes somewhere says. In his aim he was a Platonist, being in sympathy with this philosophy, whence he made the end of the whole elements the construction of the so-called Platonic figures. There is other information about Euclid given by certain authors, but it is not thought to be reliable. Two different types of this extra information exist. The first type of extra information is that given by Arabian authors who state that Euclid was the son of Naucrates and that he was born in Tyre. It is believed by historians of mathematics that this is entirely fictitious and was merely invented by the authors. The second type of information is that Euclid was born at Megara. This is due to an error on the part of the authors who first gave this information. In fact, there was a Euclid of Megara, who was a philosopher who lived about 100 years before the mathematician Euclid of Alexandria. It is not quite the coincidence that it might seem that there were two learned men called Euclid. In fact, Euclid was a very common name around this period, and this is one further complication that makes it difficult to discover information concerning Euclid of Alexandria, since there are references to numerous men called Euclid in the literature of this period. Returning to the quotation from Proclus given above, the first point to make is that there is nothing inconsistent in the dating given. However, although we do not know for certain exactly what reference to Euclid and Archimedes' work Proclus is referring to, in what has come down to us there is only one reference to Euclid, and this occurs in On the Sphere and the Cylinder. The obvious conclusion, therefore, is that all is well with the argument of Proclus, and this was assumed until challenged by Chelmslevy, 48. He argued that the reference to Euclid was added to Archimedes' book at a later stage, and indeed it is a rather surprising reference. It was not the tradition of the time to give such references. Moreover, there are many other places in Archimedes where it would be appropriate to refer to Euclid, and there is no such reference. Despite Chelmslev's claims that the passage has been added later, Bulmer Thomas writes in, "Although it is no longer possible to rely on this reference, a general consideration of Euclid's works still shows that he must have written after such pupils of Plato as Eudoxus and before Archimedes." For further discussion on dating Euclid, see, for example, 8. This is far from an end to the arguments about Euclid the mathematician. The situation is best summed up by Itar, 11, who gives three possible hypotheses. Euclid was an historical character who wrote the elements and the other works attributed to him. 2. Euclid was the leader of a team of mathematicians working at Alexandria. They all contributed to writing the complete works of Euclid, even continuing to write books under Euclid's name after his death. 3. Euclid was not an historical character. The complete works of Euclid were written by a team of mathematicians at Alexandria who took the name Euclid from the historical character Euclid of Megara, who had lived about 100 years earlier. It is worth remarking that Itar, who accepts Chelmslev's claims that the passage about Euclid was added to Archimedes, favors the second of the three possibilities that we listed above. We should, however, make some comments on the three possibilities which, it is fair to say, sum up pretty well all possible current theories. There is some strong evidence to accept, it was accepted without question by everyone for over 2,000 years, and there is little evidence which is inconsistent with this hypothesis. It is true that there are differences in style between some of the books of the elements, yet many authors vary their style. Again, the fact that Euclid undoubtedly based the elements on previous works means that it would be rather remarkable if no trace of the style of the original author remained. Even if we accept, I then there is little doubt that Euclid built up a vigorous school of mathematics at Alexandria. He therefore would have had some able pupils who may have helped out in writing the books. However, hypothesis 2 goes much further than this and would suggest that different books were written by different mathematicians. Other than the differences in style referred to above, there is little direct evidence of this. Although on the face of it, 3 might seem the most fanciful of the three suggestions, nevertheless the 20th century example of Bourbaki shows that it is far from impossible. Henri Cartan, André Weil, Jean Dieudonné, Claude Chevalley, and Alexander Grothendieck wrote collectively under the name of Bourbaki, and Bourbaki's Elements de Mathématique contains more than 30 volumes. Of course, if 3 were the correct hypothesis, then Apollonius, who studied with the pupils of Euclid in Alexandria, must have known there was no person Euclid but the fact that he wrote. Euclid did not work out the syntheses of the locus with respect to 3 and 4 lines, but only a chance portion of it. Certainly does not prove that Euclid was an historical character, since there are many similar references to Bourbaki by mathematicians who knew perfectly well that Bourbaki was fictitious. Nevertheless, the mathematicians who made up the Bourbaki team are all well known in their own right, and this may be the greatest argument against hypothesis 3, in that the Euclid team would have to have consisted of outstanding mathematicians. So who were they? We shall assume in this article that hypothesis I is true, but having no knowledge of Euclid, we must concentrate on his works after making a few comments on possible historical events. Euclid must have studied in Plato's Academy in Athens to have learned of the geometry of Eudoxus and Theaetetus, of which he was so familiar. None of Euclid's works have a preface, at least none has come down to us, so it is highly unlikely that any ever existed, so we cannot see any of his character, as we can of some other Greek mathematicians, from the nature of their prefaces. Pappus writes, see for example 1, that Euclid was most fair and well disposed towards all who were able in any measure to advance mathematics, careful in no way to give offense, and although an exact scholar, not vaunting himself. Some claim these words have been added to Pappus, and certainly the point of the passage, in a continuation which we have not quoted, is to speak harshly, and almost certainly unfairly, of Apollonius. The picture of Euclid drawn by Pappus is, however, certainly in line with the evidence from his mathematical texts. Another story told by Stobaeus 9 is the following. Someone who had begun to learn geometry with Euclid, when he had learnt the first theorem, asked Euclid, what shall I get by learning these things? Euclid called his slave and said, give him threepence, since he must make gain out of what he learns. Euclid's most famous work is his treatise on mathematics, The Elements. The book was a compilation of knowledge that became the center of mathematical teaching for 2,000 years. Probably no results in the elements were first proved by Euclid, but the organization of the material and its exposition are certainly due to him. In fact, there is ample evidence that Euclid is using earlier textbooks as he writes the elements, since he introduces quite a number of definitions which are never used, such as that of an oblong, a rhombus, and a rhomboid. The elements begins with definitions and 5 postulates. The first 3 postulates are postulates of construction. For example, the first postulate states that it is possible to draw a straight line between any 2 points. These postulates also implicitly assume the existence of points, lines, and circles, and then the existence of other geometric objects are deduced from the fact that these exist. There are other assumptions in the postulates which are not explicit. For example, it is assumed that there is a unique line joining any 2 points. Similarly, postulates 2 and 3, on producing straight lines and drawing circles, respectively, assume the uniqueness of the objects, the possibility of whose construction is being postulated. The 4th and 5th postulates are of a different nature. Postulate 4 states that all right angles are equal. This may seem obvious, but it actually assumes that space is homogeneous. By this we mean that a figure will be independent of the position in space in which it is placed. The famous 5th, or parallel, postulate states that one and only one line can be drawn through a point parallel to a given line. Euclid's decision to make this a postulate led to Euclidean geometry. It was not until the 19th century that this postulate was dropped and non-Euclidean geometries were studied. There are also axioms which Euclid calls common notions. These are not specific geometrical properties, but rather general assumptions which allow mathematics to proceed as a deductive science. For example, things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Zeno of Sidon, about 250 years after Euclid wrote the elements, seems to have been the first to show that Euclid's propositions were not deduced from the postulates and axioms alone, and Euclid does make other subtle assumptions. The Elements is divided into 13 books. Books 1 to 6 deal with plane geometry. In particular, books 1 and 2 set out basic properties of triangles, parallels, parallelograms, rectangles, and squares. Book 3 studies properties of the circle, while book 4 deals with problems about circles and is thought largely to set out work of the followers of Pythagoras. Book 5 lays out the work of Eudoxus on proportion applied to commensurable and incommensurable magnitudes. Heath says, Greek mathematics can boast no finer discovery than this theory, which put on a sound footing so much of geometry as depended on the use of proportion. Book 6 looks at applications of the results of Book 5 to plane geometry. Book 7 to 9 deal with number theory. In particular, Book 7 is a self-contained introduction to number theory and contains the Euclidean algorithm for finding the greatest common divisor of two numbers. Book 8 looks at numbers in geometrical progression, but van der Weerden writes in that it contains cumbersome enunciations, needless repetitions, and even logical fallacies. Apparently, Euclid's exposition excelled only in those parts in which he had excellent sources at his disposal. Book 10 deals with the theory of irrational numbers and is mainly the work of Theaetetus. Euclid changed the proofs of several theorems in this book so that they fitted the new definition of proportion given by Eudoxus. Books 11 to 13 deal with three-dimensional geometry. In Book 13, the basic definitions needed for the three books together are given. The theorems then follow a fairly similar pattern to the two-dimensional analogs previously given in Books 1 and 4. The main results of Book 12 are that circles are to one another as the squares of their diameters and that spheres are to each other as the cubes of their diameters. These results are certainly due to Eudoxus. Euclid proves these theorems using the method of exhaustion as invented by Eudoxus. The Elements ends with Book 13, which discusses the properties of the five regular polyhedra and gives a proof that there are precisely five. This book appears to be based largely on an earlier treatise by Theaetetus. Euclid's Elements is remarkable for the clarity with which the theorems are stated and proved. The standard of rigor was to become a goal for the inventors of the calculus centuries later. As Heath writes in, this wonderful book, with all its imperfections, which are indeed slight enough when account is taken of the date it appeared, is and will doubtless remain the greatest mathematical textbook of all time. Even in Greek times, the most accomplished mathematicians occupied themselves with it. Heron, Pappus, Porphyry, Proclus, and Simplicius wrote commentaries. Theon of Alexandria re-edited it, altering the language here and there, mostly with a view to greater clearness and consistency. It is a fascinating story how the Elements has survived from Euclid's time, and this is told well by Fowler in 7. He describes the earliest material relating to the Elements which has survived. Our earliest glimpse of Euclidean material will be the most remarkable for 1,000 years, 6 fragmentary ostraca containing text and a figure, found on Elephantine Island in 1906, 07 and 1907, 08. These texts are early, though still more than 100 years after the death of Plato. They are dated on paleographic grounds to the third quarter of the 3rd century BC. Advanced, they deal with the results found in the Elements, Book 13, on the pentagon, hexagon, decagon, and icosahedron, and they do not follow the text of the Elements, so they give evidence of someone in the 3rd century BC, located more than 500 miles south of Alexandria, working through this difficult material. This may be an attempt to understand the mathematics and not a slavish copying. The next fragment that we have dates from 75 to 125 AD and again appears to be notes by someone trying to understand the material of the Elements. More than 1,000 editions of the Elements have been published since it was first printed in 1482. Heath discusses many of the editions and describes the likely changes to the text over the years. V. L. van der Weerden assesses the importance of the Elements in almost from the time of its writing and lasting almost to the present, the Elements has exerted a continuous and major influence on human affairs. It was the primary source of geometric reasoning, theorems, and methods at least until the advent of non-Euclidean geometry in the 19th century. It is sometimes said that, next to the Bible, the Elements may be the most translated, published, and studied of all the books produced in the Western world. Euclid also wrote the following books which have survived: Data, with 94 propositions, which looks at what properties of figures can be deduced when other properties are given; On Divisions, which looks at constructions to divide a figure into two parts with areas of given ratio; Optics, which is the first Greek work on perspective; and Phenomena, which is an elementary introduction to mathematical astronomy and gives results on the time stars in certain positions will rise and set. Euclid's following books have all been lost: Surface Loci, 2 books, Prisms, a 3-book work with, according to Pappus, 171 theorems and 38 lemmas, Conics, 4 books, Book of Fallacies, and Elements of Music. The Book of Fallacies is described by Proclus. Since many things seem to conform with the truth and to follow from scientific principles, but lead astray from the principles and deceive the more superficial, Euclid has handed down methods for the clear-sighted understanding of these matters. Also, the treatise in which he gave this machinery to us is entitled Fallacies, enumerating in order the various kinds, exercising our intelligence in each case by theorems of all sorts, setting the true side by side with the false, and combining the refutation of the error with practical illustration. Elements of Music is a work which is attributed to Euclid by Proclus. We have 2 treatises on music which have survived, and by some authors attributed to Euclid, but it is now thought that they are not the work on music referred to by Proclus. Euclid may not have been a first-class mathematician, but the long-lasting nature of the elements must make him the leading mathematics teacher of antiquity, or perhaps of all time. As a final personal note, let me add that my EFR, own introduction to mathematics at school in the 1950s, was from an edition of part of Euclid's Elements, and the work provided a logical basis for mathematics and the concept of proof which seemed to be lacking in school mathematics today. The picture of Euclid which we give above is from the 18th century and must be regarded as entirely fanciful. Article by J.J. O'Connor and E.F. Robertson.